Three conversations that I think that we as LSU fans can realistically have about this LSU football team. And I would have thought you were crazy if you brought them up just a few short weeks ago. What are those conversations and why can we have them now? We'll get into that on today's edition of Locked On LSU. Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcast. You can also find us on YouTube as well. Just search Locked On LSU and subscribe to the YouTube channel so you don't miss a second of your Locked On LSU content. This episode of Locked On LSU was brought to you by Sling TV. Don't miss this week's matchup between LSU and Arkansas right here on Sling. Sling, the TV you love for a price you'll love. Try it today. So after LSU defeated Alabama in overtime, 32-31, an absolute thriller in Tiger Stadium on Saturday night, I thought, let's enjoy this win. Let's celebrate LSU beating Alabama in Brian Kelly's first year, a few short months removed from having 39 scholarship players in a bowl game. Let's celebrate that. And also, let's celebrate the fact that we can have some really serious conversations about this LSU football team. First and foremost, one conversation that I think that we can have is Jaden Daniels a Heisman contender? Now, The Athletic always has every week a Heisman straw poll where they will poll college football writers across the country, across different conferences, and they will submit their votes for the Heisman poll. Now, after this last week, CJ Stroud is currently in first place with 12 first place votes, which is just astonishing that a Tennessee loss can move CJ Stroud up to the top, even though CJ Stroud threw for fewer than 100 yards against Northwestern, a 1-8 football team. Anyways, CJ Stroud, at least in the Athletic Heisman straw poll, now is in first place with 12 first place votes. Hendon Hooker in second place with 5 first place votes. Drake May, UNC quarterback, which I don't think that that's necessarily a household name, but he should be because he's balling out so far this year. But nobody really cares about UNC football. No disrespect to UNC football. But he's in fourth and third place with 4 first place votes. And then Caleb Williams, USC quarterback, is in fourth place. He has 8 first place votes, but second and third place votes just aren't there to get into the point total. But you're saying, okay, Jaden Daniels, that's the conversation here. Because Jaden Daniels, there were several quarterbacks with, one vote, either first, second, or third place. And Jaden Daniels was one of them with 1 first place votes. One first place vote in the Heisman straw poll at The Athletic. So, no, that's not 12 first place votes like CJ Stroud or 8 first place votes like Caleb Williams. But Jaden Daniels is getting a little bit of Heisman love. Now, I want to be really, really, really real with y'all right now. Jaden Daniels isn't winning the Heisman. Jaden Daniels is not getting an invitation to New York because the Heisman is based off of a culmination of the entire season. Jaden Daniels has been absolutely balling out, but you can't have an 80-yard game against Auburn, except CJ Stroud did against Northwestern. He's in first place. But Jaden Daniels hasn't been the dominant, a quarterback and hasn't been the sexy stat line of a quarterback this entire season as he has been these last three games. Whereas CJ Stroud, Hendon Hooker, Drake May, Caleb Williams, those quarterbacks have been. So I'm going to say it right here. Jaden Daniels is not winning the Heisman. Jaden Daniels most likely is not getting an invitation to New York for the Heisman ceremony. But I think that we can at least have the conversation because I want to compare Jaden Daniels to the top two Heisman candidates in CJ Stroud and Hendon Hooker. And let's look at the last three games. I feel like that's a fair sample size. And it's also when Jaden Daniels has been balling out and been looking like a Heisman candidate against Florida. I'll go Florida, Ole Miss, and then Alabama going in order. Florida, he was 23 of 32, 349 yards, 3 touchdowns, 44 rushing yards, and 3 touchdowns on the ground. CJ Stroud against Iowa, that was their game 3 weeks ago. CJ Stroud was 20 of 30 for 286 yards, 4 touchdowns, an interception, and negative 13 rushing yards. Hendon Hooker, this was 4 weeks ago against Alabama. 3 weeks ago, they played UT Martin. So I'm just going to skip that. So against Alabama, Hendon Hooker was 21 of 30 for 385 yards, 5 touchdowns, an interception, and 56 rush yards. That really was Hendon Hooker's Heisman game, Heisman moment, was just how well he played against Alabama. So Jaden Daniels is the one quarterback in that game 3 weeks ago for Tennessee, 4 weeks ago, who did not throw an interception, but his stat line is right up there with CJ Stroud and Hendon Hooker. against Ole Miss 2 weeks ago. Jaden Daniels, 21 of 28, 248 yards, two touchdowns, 121 rush yards, three rushing touchdowns, five touchdowns on the day, zero interceptions. CJ Stroud at Penn State was 26 of 33 for 354 rushing yards, so more passing yards than Jaden Daniels, but only had five rushing yards on the day, whereas Jaden Daniels had 120 rushing yards against Ole Miss, and CJ Stroud had a touchdown in that game, whereas Jaden Daniels had five against Ole Miss. And that same week against Kentucky, when Tennessee just blew Kentucky out of the water, Hendon Hooker was 19 of 25 for 245 yards, three touchdowns, and 23 rushing yards. So their passing stat line is about the same, whereas Jaden Daniels has significantly more rushing yards and two more touchdowns on the day. Now, most recently, let's look at this past week. Jaden Daniels, great game against Alabama, 22 of 32, 182 yards, two touchdowns, 95 rush yards, and a rushing touchdown. CJ Stroud, on the other hand, against Northwestern, a team that has only won one game this year, he was 10 of 26, 76 yards, zero touchdowns, and 79 rush yards on the day. Not a great performance from CJ Stroud, whereas Hendon Hooker was 23 of 33 for 195 yards, an interception, and 17 rush yards against Georgia. Honestly, y'all, when you look at the stats, Jaden Daniels is right up there. When you look at the stats just in the last 3 weeks, Jaden Daniels is the only quarterback out of himself, Hendon Hooker, and CJ Stroud that has not turned the ball over. Jaden Daniels is playing like a Heisman contender. Now, he won't. I'd say he's not going to win it just because it's, you look at the season as a whole, and we all had questions about Jaden Daniels and if he could lead this team as a starting quarterback in the league and then turn things around. But if you look at the games in which Jaden Daniels has been balling out, in that shift in the middle of the season after that Tennessee game, Jaden Daniels has been playing like a Heisman contender. Jaden Daniels has had better games throughout this last 3 weeks than other two Heisman contenders. So while I don't think that I know Jaden Daniels will not win the Heisman Trophy, we have to acknowledge that Jaden Daniels is quarterbacking like a Heisman Trophy caliber quarterback. And we have to give Jaden Daniels credit for that. We have to look at this team as a whole and what they've been able to do and say Jaden Daniels very much so is a huge part of it. He's no longer a passenger in this offense. He is leading this offense, just like CJ Stroud is leading Ohio State's offense, just like Hendon Hooker is leading Tennessee's offense. Jaden Daniels is playing like a Heisman contender quarterback, and probably won't get the credit or the acknowledgement of one just because the season isn't there. But let's give him credit for that. Because while I think it's a fair conversation to have about Jaden Daniels being a Heisman contender, beating Alabama makes that conversation so much more realistic. But coming up next, another conversation that we now can have now that that LSU has beaten Alabama, but I thought you'd be crazy if you brought up just a few weeks ago. So we will get into that second conversation coming up next. But before we do that, I want to tell you about SimpliSafe. So did you know that over the holidays, which we're getting into the holiday season, we're looking ahead to Thanksgiving and to Christmas time, property crimes like burglaries and package thefts spike nationally. So that's why our friends at SimpliSafe Home Security are offering 50% off their award-winning security system so that more families can feel safe and secure this holiday season. And when you have family and friends over, you want to make sure that if they're staying at your house or if they're coming to your house for a holiday celebration, that they are protected and your family is protected as well. So order your SimpliSafe system for half off today and enjoy advanced security and greater peace of this mind holiday season. So here is why I personally love SimpliSafe. So in an emergency, 24/7 professional monitoring agents use Fast Protect technology exclusively from SimpliSafe to capture critical evidence and verify that the threat is real so you can get priority police response. That's why I love SimpliSafe, is because it's around the clock. If it's early in the morning, late at night, middle of the day, you know that your house and your family and you yourself are protected because SimpliSafe has got you covered. They've got the 24/7 professional monitoring service. It costs less than $1 a day, which when it comes to your safety, you cannot put a price tag on that. But with a price tag that low, it's absolutely worth it. It's less than half the price of ADT's traditional professionally installed system. So with the top-rated SimpliSafe app, stay in complete control of your system and stay in complete control of your home at any time or anywhere. Don't miss your chance to save big on the only security system that I recommend. Get 50% off any new SimpliSafe system at simplisafe.com/URL today. Don't miss your chance to save big on the only security system that I recommend. Get 50% off new SimpliSafe systems at simplisafe.com/lockedoncollege today. This is their biggest discount of the year, so do not wait. That's simplisafe.com/lockedoncollege. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts, and we're on YouTube as well. So listen to the podcast, and you can watch it on YouTube as well. For your second listen today, check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. So I said there's three conversations. And now that LSU has beaten Alabama, three conversations that we can realistically have that didn't feel like realistic conversations at the beginning of the season, before the season, or even just a few short weeks ago. Let's not forget that we are just a month removed from getting stomped at home against Tennessee. The second conversation that we can have, is LSU a college football playoff contender? I mentioned this on the podcast yesterday, but I said I wanted to get more in depth with it today. And now that we got the college football playoff results, we got those last night, the rankings, we got those last night, we can have a serious conversation about LSU's path to the college football playoff. So it was released by the committee last night. Georgia number one, Ohio State two, Michigan three, TCU moving up from 7 to number 4. Tennessee with a loss to Georgia sliding into that 5 spot when they were number 1 last week. Oregon at 6 at 8-1. LSU at 7-2. At 7 with a 7-2 record. Personally, I think this is kind of cutting LSU short a little bit. You know, Alabama was 6. LSU beat Alabama. LSU should be 6. I understand that LSU has a 7-2 record and Oregon has an 8-1 record, but also LSU now has a top 10 win over Alabama. Oregon, on the other hand, does not. So I would put LSU at 6 probably, but I understand with the record situation, Oregon at 6, LSU at 7, USC at 8, Alabama at 9, which let me just say, Alabama at 9, a 7-2 team that has lost to both Tennessee and LSU, above a Clemson team that lost its first game of the season, is so not fair. Alabama should be 10, Clemson should be 9. Honestly, Alabama should be even lower. Clemson should be 9, Ole Miss should be 10, and Alabama should be 11. But I digress, because fighting about college football playoff rankings feels like beating a dead horse, because if the college football playoff committee has proven us anything, it's that the only thing that they're consistent about is inconsistency. But I digress, because let's talk about LSU's path to the college football playoff. To me, we can only really have this conversation if LSU wins out, meaning LSU wins out of the regular season, LSU goes to Atlanta, competes in the SEC championship, and beats Georgia in the SEC championship. If they lose any other game along the way, they're, you know, they're a three-loss team. There's no way they're getting into the college football playoff. And that includes even getting to Atlanta, because a two-loss team has never gotten in, so a three-loss team is absolutely not going to get in. But LSU would have the strongest resume of any two-loss team in the history of the college football playoff. Now, I say the one thing that the college football playoff committee is consistent with is inconsistency. There's another thing. It's that if there is one single precedent set by the college football playoff committee, it's the fact that a two-loss team has never gotten into the college football playoff. But also, a two-loss team has never defeated the number one team in the nation in the conference championship game. So LSU would be the only team in the SEC with wins over Alabama and Georgia, making a huge assumption that LSU is going to win out and win the SEC championship, which I understand those are all assumptions, but let's just operate under those conditions. LSU would have wins over Alabama and wins over Georgia, and they would have won the SEC championship. I mean, I don't necessarily know off the top of my head, but I don't think an SEC champion has ever not gotten in. And I don't know that for certain, but I feel very, very confident in saying that. An SEC champion has never not gotten into the college football playoff. So LSU would have not just the strongest case for a two-loss team this year, but the strongest case for a two-loss team to get into the college football playoff in the history of the college football playoff. But that also is with a big assumption that the college football playoff committee would value a two-loss SEC champion over a one-loss Alabama team, excuse me, a one-loss Tennessee team rather, that won the head-to-head and blew out in the head-to-head against LSU, and that was Tennessee. And Tennessee played LSU head-to-head in LSU's house, beat them, blew them out. They only lost one game, and two-loss LSU team would get in over them. That would be a really, really difficult debate that the College Football Playoff Committee would have to have. And that's also assuming that Tennessee is going to win out. But they've got South Carolina, Missouri, and Vanderbilt. I feel pretty confident that Tennessee is going to be able to beat all of those teams. That's also making a pretty massive assumption that Georgia is going to win out. But if I saw anything, if I learned anything on Saturday, it's that Georgia is just that freaking good of a football team. Because Tennessee was the number one team in the nation, I thought that Tennessee had every single right to be the number one team in the nation. I thought Tennessee was going to at least keep it close with Georgia. And Georgia dominated that team all game long. Georgia's just that good. I don't see any team losing to Georgia, at least along the path in the rest of their regular season. So a lot would have to go right. A lot would have to go right for LSU. They'd have to win out, which I think is very realistic. They'd have to beat Georgia in the SEC championship, which I think is going to be a really, really tall task. And they would still have to convince the College Football Playoff Committee that as a two-loss team, they are more worthy of getting in over either a one-loss Tennessee, either a one-loss Michigan or Ohio State, whoever loses that head-to-head, maybe a one-loss Clemson, maybe a one-loss Oregon if they end up winning the Pac-12. It would take a lot of convincing, and it would be a really difficult debate for the College Football Playoff Committee. But if LSU wins out and LSU runs the table and LSU beats number one Georgia in Atlanta in the SEC championship, LSU has a really legitimate shot at getting into the college football playoff. And I just know if that day comes, if LSU beats Atlanta, it beats Georgia in Atlanta, and LSU doesn't get a bid to the college football playoff, that Florida State game is going to haunt me more and more and more every single day because it already keeps me up at night. So it's another conversation that we can have. Is LSU a college football playoff contender? And I think yes, but a lot has to go right. The third conversation that we can now have, a realistic conversation that we can now have about LSU now that they have beaten Alabama. We'll get into that coming up next. But before we do that, I want to tell you about Built Bar. Okay, so let's just pause for a second. Everybody sit, just chill, pause for a second. Okay, so now we're paused. Great. Because I want you to listen up. You have got to try this. And I am talking about Built Bar's new reimagined flavors. Listen to this: cookie dough topper, coconut brownie bar, and coconut brownie topper. How delicious does that sound? So it's got white chocolate peppermint granola. It's Built's take on the granola bar, so it's more filling and still insanely tasty. And candy cane brownie puff. Built Puffs are like biting into the universe's most delicious cloud. If you like marshmallows, this is for you. But first off, for anybody who hasn't tried Built Bars before, they are literally the best tasting protein bars ever. I love Built Bars. They're revolutionizing nutrition as we know it. They're 100% real chocolate, but there's 17 grams of protein and only 130 calories, low sugar, low calories, high protein, and they're delicious. I'm not kidding you. This is going to be one of the best experiences of your life when you bite into a Built Bar. They're delicious. They're magical. You're probably wondering which flavor is my new favorite. Well, it's an unanswerable question to say the least because they are all delicious. But if I have to pick my favorite, I'm picking the cookie dough. Built, you have got to try the Built Bars. Get 15% off your order right now by using the code LOCKEDON15 at built.com. That's LOCKEDON15 at built.com. So the third and final conversation that we all can realistically have as LSU fans, and I think that we can have this, especially after that win against Alabama, but I think that we had a very, very fair case of having this conversation pretty much all season long. And that is, does LSU have the most impactful and best and most talented freshman in the SEC. And I'll even go as far as to say, does LSU have the most impactful and most talented freshman class in all of college football? Now, I am not an expert on Kent State. I am not an expert on Fresno State. I'm not even an expert on Michigan. I'm not even an expert on Clemson. But I know the SEC. And I think we can have a very serious conversation about LSU having the most impactful freshman class in all of the SEC. And here's where I will shut down some debate, because there's a few names at other schools across the SEC that you could argue might be better or more talented or more impactful than some LSU freshmen. I'll look at Ole Miss. Ole Miss is Quinshon Judkins. That's really the only freshman that I think that you could argue is more impactful. Quinshon Judkins has almost 1,040 rushing yards on the season and 4 total touchdowns, 13 rushing, 1 receiving. That is almost one half of the team's 27 total rushing yards. Quinshon Judkins makes up for 13 of Ole Miss's 27 rushing touchdowns. That's insane. He's a true freshman. He has the same total number of touchdowns as Jackson Dart, their starting quarterback. Jackson Dart has 14 passing touchdowns. Quinshon Judkins has 14 total touchdowns. That is incredible. He's a great player. We saw that firsthand. Quinshon Judkins is a really good player. So you can make the argument, sure, maybe Quinshon Judkins is more impactful. You can also make the argument that Barrion Brown and Dane Key, a pair of true freshman wide receivers at Kentucky, are pretty impactful players. And I'd agree, you know, either of them, either together or independently of one another, have been named SEC Freshman of the Week several times throughout the season. They're second and third in team receiving yards. They each combine for 7 touchdowns together. The team as a whole has 18 receiving touchdowns, so they account for just a little bit less than half, the two of them, a little bit less than half of the team's total receiving yards. Those two players are impactful, but just not quite as impactful and not quite as dominant as Quinshon Judkins has been. But that is one freshman on Ole Miss's team. That is two freshmen on Kentucky's team that are impactful and have made a contribution. But I look at four freshmen on LSU's team that aren't just starting, that aren't just there, that aren't just playing because they're playing. I look at four players on LSU's team that have been so impactful, that have been game changers for this team. I look at Harold Perkins. I mean, Harold Perkins is not just the freshman of the week, he's the defensive player of the week. I look at Harold Perkins single-handedly disrupting Bryce Young in this Alabama offense. You don't do that as an experienced player. You don't do that on your own as just one single player. Harold Perkins did that as a true freshman. Harold Perkins was all over Bryce Young all night long. Harold Perkins was a huge reason why LSU's defense was able to limit what Alabama's offense can do, both in the air and on the ground. Harold Perkins is going to be a problem. I look at Harold Perkins and I say, that guy just ran the table defensively. That is the impact that Harold Perkins is making. But it's not just that. What about Mason Taylor, true freshman tight end, who caught the game-winning two-point conversion? Look at also Mason Taylor, who scored a touchdown earlier in the game for LSU to take the lead when Alabama took the lead 21-17 in the fourth quarter. Mason Taylor came up in two of the most clutch moments of the game. Clearly, the two-point conversion was the most clutch. But when LSU needed a touchdown, when LSU got down and they needed to come back, Mason Taylor delivered. When they absolutely positively had to convert on that two-point conversion to win the game, Mason Taylor stepped up as a true freshman. And Mason Taylor, like, he had this standout game against Alabama, but he's been contributing all season long. Like I mentioned yesterday, he's caught at least one pass in every single game, and he had a contributed huge against Ole Miss when he had 3 receptions, 44 yards, and a touchdown. He had 3 receptions, 36 yards, a touchdown, and that two-point conversion against Alabama. Mason Taylor has been contributing to this offense in invaluable ways. Not just those two. LSU has a pair of true freshman tackles on the offensive line, and Emory Jones and Will Campbell on the right and the right and left side, respectively. How many teams in college football, but especially in the most difficult division, in the most difficult conference in all of college football, have two true freshmen at right and left tackle, at two of your most important positions on the offensive line? How many other schools can say that? How many other schools can say that Will Campbell went toe-to-toe with one of the best defensive players in college football in Will Anderson, a player who was consensus top five pick in the NFL draft, player with 17 sacks last year? Will Campbell went toe-to-toe with Will Anderson all night. And of course, you know, Will Campbell got beat by Will Anderson a couple times. That's going to happen to even your most experienced, most talented tackles. Will Campbell did that as a true freshman. Will Campbell is a problem and will continue to be a problem for LSU's opponents moving forward. So I feel very confident in saying LSU has the most impactful freshman class in all of the SEC, which is a huge accolade to this team and the coaching staff and the way that they've been able to develop those players, but also should make you really excited about this team moving forward. It should make you really excited about what's to come, because these players are balling out as true freshmen. Imagine with a year of experience under their belts. Imagine with a year of strength training and in LSU's nutrition system, how much more they can grow physically, mentally, how much more their confidence can grow. Just how much this team is going to evolve over the next 3 years with those four freshmen specifically already making massive plays in the most difficult game, most important game of the year, in the most difficult conference in all of college football. That is huge. So the three conversations that we can realistically have: Jaden Daniels is playing like a Heisman contender. LSU has a path to the college football playoff. LSU has the most impactful freshman in the SEC. And all of that comes from an Alabama win. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Now, coming up on the next podcast, LSU tips off their season tonight against UMKC. So I'm going to try to get an episode out before tip off just to kind of get y'all already locked and loaded for the basketball season. But also we'll have a crossover Thursday with John Neighbors, the host of Locked On Arkansas. So look forward to that. But also make your second listen Locked On Sports Today. The biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts.